Hello, and this is Pondering Putan with Ajishio Taro and Hachimitsu Boy. I'm Connor, and I'm here with my co-host, Neve.
Hi, I'm Neve.
And this is a lighthearted and uproarious comedy podcast that's dedicated to Eiji Nonaka's manga series, Cromartie High School. And today we are beginning our read-through of Volume 5 with Chapter 96, Jungle Boogie. And what a beginning it is.
Yeah.
Very, as expected from Crow High, just really, really tight plot sequencing here.
Yeah.
It's funny because, well, so for the listener, if you're not reading along, it starts, literally the first line in the chapter is, this is a little abrupt, but our heroes are currently in the dense forest around Mount Fuji. which, if you remember from, I don't think we did much plot synopsis of the last couple chapters in the previous volume, but
yeah,
we weren't even like, we weren't on any plot. Well, that's not true. We were on a completely different guy, like in Tokyo.
Yeah.
With no plans or indication of this happening.
Yeah. And that guy was like, you know, getting into internet drama, basically, I would say.
Yeah. I would say.
And also. I think the last time we checked in on our heroes, it was Kamiyama accidentally spray painting. Was that it?
Yeah.
The graffiti. Trying to spray paint to let the other people know and then realizing that it was graffiti and then trying to apologize for it.
Yeah.
But like in a way to misdirect.
Yeah. And within that, the whole plot arc there was like them trying to get back to like attend school more regularly.
Yeah.
Like the whole focus was Kamiyama being like, guys, this plot is spiraling out of control. Like, are we even students anymore? We're such bad excuses. We're late all the time. We need to like start coming to school on time. And then the whole like rigmarole around that ending with Kamiyama becoming a delinquent, which like, I guess in a way recapitulating the core movement of Cromartie High School.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we just like start off in a completely different scenario, like disconnected from everything else in this chapter.
Although in some ways it's like, you know, his whole mission was to try and get them to go to school more. And instead in becoming a delinquent, right? Now they're lost in the woods. Like there is a sort of metaphorical thing happening here about like the state of Kamiyama, you know?
Yeah, it's very Dante.
And then there's also just good old fashioned like in media res storytelling, right? We open on they're lost in the woods, and you say, how are they lost in the woods? What has happened? And then like you get some of the details delivered to you through the conversation.
True, and it's not like totally atypical, obviously, for Kromahai to do like to drop you in, in medias res or like in scenarios that we probably couldn't even call that, just because of like, in medias res implies, I think the existence of a plot, and sometimes you just get like plopped into a scenario that is not even well enough developed to be that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's not like unheard of for this kind of thing to happen, but it is kind of. It was funny to me reading it, because I was kind of like, it in the moments when I was like paging from digitally on MangaDex from the end of volume 4 to like volume 5, I was in those seconds, I was kind of like reflecting a little bit about where we end up at the end of volume 4.
Yeah.
And volume 4 is like, is good. And the ending is like, is funny and and good. I mean, we know that it's one of the ones that got into the anime. But I'm still just like, there's not much. We feel kind of lost in a way by the end of volume four as the reader, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where is this going to, like, where do we even go at this point? And then you start off volume five and it's just like, just calls out like, yeah, here's a random scenario.
Yeah. And part of it also that feels particularly like jarring that it's jokingly calling attention to is we've had like, we've come into the middle of action, right? Like something is happening that's just different than what was happening before. But we've never quite to this extent, I don't think, come into a different setting entirely, right?
Right.
It might be a new setting in that like, oh, this is one of the rival schools that we're looking into. But that's still fundamentally a school setting, right?
Yeah. And it's like nearby, presumably.
Yeah.
In the space that we're used to them operating within.
Yeah. Or in the cases where we are dislocated from that, there is still an immediate grounding of like, they're going on a school trip and they're on the train for the trip. Or we know that like...
Takanouchi is
America. Like in America and we go and see what he's doing in America, right? We get no suggestion of the woods, the wilderness, as like a possible setting within this world. And suddenly it's a setting.
Yeah. and I like the next step where it's like, the next line too. I mean, so much happens in these first two lines. Also very Dantean in this sense. But like, yeah, so we get the first line, which I already read. But then the second line, this forest is an enormous wooded area from which it's said there is no escape. So like, okay, we get the kind of humorous, suddenness of the first line. And then the second line takes it into like a completely different headspace. It pushes it more into like the horror, mode. Like right away.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know. I feel like that's also very funny in its way.
And it quickly, like we get like, we're lost and we get like people a little bit at edge with each other, about like being lost, not wanting to die in a place like this. We also learn that there's a strange magnetic field that's making their compass not work. And then we get the suggestion of how they got here, which is that they came for a baseball training camp. And then there's the question of how could this have become such a predicament? And we're never going to get the answer to that, really, right?
Yeah.
We'll get people talking about other things they could have done, like get a hotel. But, like, we don't get, like, what actually happened to get them to this point in the woods. Right?
Yeah. It seems like Hayashida had the idea to go camping.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, how exactly they got from that point to, like, completely stranded is never really fleshed out.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, people continue to sort of, like, be at each other's throats a little bit, right?
Yeah.
We learn that they haven't eaten in a day. There's like talk about whether or not to eat the rations. We really move into this like survival horror like mode. Although of course, thankfully we do have a can opener. So
yeah. Yeah, so like
the normally first... in something like this you would have the food, but you wouldn't have the can opener, and that would be the dramatic irony. But thankfully they do have some cans of dry rations and a can opener.
Yeah, yeah, the first puncture in the, like, survival horror setup is this can opener, where he just, like, randomly has, Maida, of course, randomly has a can opener.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Hokuto is actually helpful, strangely. He seems to be taking control of the situation. And then he's like, okay, yeah, well, we've got the can opener. Let's just open the can. And then you see Vida in this bottom panel, like, opening the can, but you don't see the can. And then it's the first big reveal, which is Bekazawa Beta, like, is they've mistaken him for the can. The best part of this scene is, I think this is Hokuto's lackey here with the chopsticks.
Yeah.
It's like already got his chopsticks ready.
Yeah. Yeah. But presumably they do then eat the rations because Kamiyama is the one in the back shouting, "These are the rations, these."
Yeah, we don't see them eat the rations, but
yeah. That is sort of elided.
Yeah. Yeah, and then meanwhile we get this sudden shift to Freddy, who we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, as they sort of discuss, like, they're still lost, though. Like, they haven't solved the core problem. They've addressed this, like, food need that has, like, caused them to be at each other. But they haven't addressed the core problem. But then, yeah, we do shift to Freddy.
And this is a great panel with Freddy just kind of coming out of nowhere. We just get, like, slammed in this, not quite close up, but, like, Freddy alone in the panel, suddenly emerging.
Yeah. Almost as if in response to, we're all just 16, and this is how we're going to meet our ends. What are we going to do? And then here's Freddy, right?
Yeah, seemingly flying into action. Like, he's going to do the thing that we've seen before, where he, like, goes and does something incredible.
Pointing in the directions in the taxi when they get, like, way off track, you know? And then we get this, like, series of him, like, lumbering out into the woods. I would describe the way he's drawn as lumbering. As he, like, recedes into the trees.
Yeah. And the bridge creaking underneath him.
Yeah, climbing the mountain.
literally climbing a mountain.
Yeah. Moving through the tall grass here.
This montage. And then coming.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then coming to civilization, right? A ramen shop here. He is, like, presumably found some way to get out of this. And then he sits down and orders another large ramen. And we learn that he's been coming here for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the past 3 days.
Yeah. Which, now just imagining that, like, the prior pages where he's, like, getting up and walking away to, like, God knows where. And he's just, like, doing this 3 times a day with nobody seeming to notice or remark on it.
Yeah, well, even the people working at the ramen shop are like, you know, where do you think he lives? Like, he's coming here 3 times a day in the past 3 days. He's always good about paying. And they're like, well, you know, the World Cup's coming up. Like, maybe he's here to cheer for the team. Seems to be from Russia or something with, you know, his whole shirtless, hairy chest thing.
Yeah, enormous mustache.
Yeah. And then we, like, to further emphasize this whole thing that he's just gone through to get to this ramen shop, we see him do it in reverse: the tall grass, the mountain, the creaky bridge, and then, lumbering out of the trees to, you know, the campfire here. Where they are still pondering what they should do about the predicament they're in, and he simply, you know, also overwhelmed by the how lost they are, holds his head in despair.
Yeah. And then the panel of him looking like the penultimate panel, the close-up of him.
Yeah.
With just a tremendous amount of intensity on his face. But, like, resolve. Very much seeming like he's about to lead them out of there. And then cut to him doing the exact same motion as everybody else, like head in hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, pretty good start to volume 5.
Yeah. We're still like firmly in the section of stuff that happens in the anime, you know? I mean, we got the end of the anime in like volume 1 or something, but you know, we're still getting anime stuff in here. It's not all anime all the time, right? There's like a mingling.
It'll be interesting to track, or maybe you already know, when the last like anime scene is going to pop up in the manga.
Yeah.
I guess you're not revealing that.
I'm not, and also I don't entirely know. Like I don't have the knowledge. I know that I think one of the last things that we're gonna get, but there might be some stuff after it. I guess I will at least say this is Hokuto the Seal. That's fairly late.
Okay.
In terms of like what happens within the manga compared to the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to the pillows, and that did not disappoint.
Yeah.
But yeah, we know what happens with Hokuto the Seal.
And I think we'll know. We will know. Like, there are parts where we'll be like, is this the last thing from the anime? But we won't necessarily remember. But we'll hit a part where I think we'll know that we're out of the anime, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
There's finally, just a part where you, like, know.
Yeah. Finally out of the woods.
Yeah. But for now, we will remain stuck in the woods.
Good. Yeah, I like it. I could have a few more chapters of this arc.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't look ahead and see if there were or not.
Enough. I guess in the physical part, you can see that they're still in the woods next chapter, like the first page. I won't say any more, but
right,
you know.
We've done our duty here.
Yeah, this is a bit abrupt. Do you just want to end it?
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, this is like we're so off schedule with this recording that
yeah.
I feel like this is the time. Like we never pull this card.
Normally we record Tuesday at 8:30. And then I immediately go to bed because I have to drive in the next day. We have to record Takumi tomorrow.
Yeah.
And also my wife and child are not at home, and so we're recording this like right after you got home from work, basically, I think.
Yeah.
Or I got home or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, let's end this before my wife also isn't home. So yeah, let's end this before our wives get home.
Yeah. I mean, my wife's not going to be home for a while, but I'm actually going to go see my wife and pick her up on the weekend and then drive her home. So after staying there for like the weekend. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. Next time we will be reading chapters. I don't even have to read it fast. I can take my time.
Oh yeah.
Next time, we're going to be right back here reading chapter 97 from volume 5. You can find the full schedule for the podcast at exportaud.io/bootonschedule. And within like the next week or so from when we're recording this, I'm going to try and get in as many of the like songs for the next volume. Cause I usually do that once I get to the volume, just in case like I can quickly look through and see if any of the chapters give me anything if I'm like struggling. Anyway, if you have questions for us, you can send them to ghostdiverspod@gmail.com. You can get early access to episodes of this podcast and many others by becoming a $1 patron of the network. If you go over to exportaud.io, that's where you can become a patron. Most of the podcasts that are like part of that, you'll get a week early. So this is one of them. You'll get to listen to this podcast a week early, other podcasts a week early. You'll also find links to the public feeds there if you just want to check out those and like see what other shows are on the network. For $5 with the Patreon, you get bonus episodes of right now the main one is Coffee and Comic Books. So that is a podcast where they talk about comics. They are currently doing Finder as sort of like a every once in a while ongoing thing. And I think a lot of those are going to be exclusive bonus episodes. And I don't know how they're going to break up Cages. That's coming up soon, but it might be like the first five issues is free in like the free feed. And then the other five, you'll have to be a $5 patron. So think about it for listening to me talk about Cages. If you like this podcast, you can tell a friend. So in addition to exportaud.io, just having the links to everything, you can also give them exportaud.io/Pooton, and that'll just take them right to this podcast. You can also give them exportaud.io/Ghostdivers, and that will take you to our anime podcast that you and I do, Connor. Right now, we're actually not covering anime. We are, I would say, like, we're nearing the end of Nana coverage, especially in terms of recording. With releasing, there's like a 3-week turnaround, so it's a little bit further, but we're still getting to the end, right? Yeah,
three more episodes, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling the end coming, you know, because like, especially once we get to 20 and 21, like, I still think we should do them separate because trying to do it all at once might be hard. But those last two volumes move as well, they're like some of the fastest, Nana volumes reading. But we'll have a lot to talk through, I think. So, yeah. Still breaking it up.
Those might be monster episodes.
Yeah. Especially 21. We'll just have, I think, a lot to talk about, even though it reads really quickly. But anyway, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at PonderPooton. We're also technically at Pooton on Co-host, but I just don't use Co-host. I do use Pooton.
You use it every night.
PonderPooton. You can follow me at Fox Omnia on anything that I'm on.
It's really important. I know you're trying to do. For hygiene to use your Pooton every night.
You can find me at Fox Omnia on basically any social media account that I am on. But Twitter is the only one that I really use regularly.
God, this is so relaxing.
I have a pinned tweet there. If you go to my co-host, you'll also see a pinned thing. But it has links to all of my podcasts, so you can check that out, too, if you like. Just want to find the links that way. Anyway, where can people find you, Connor?
Y'all can find me at Rabelais, Rabelais, on Twitter and co-host. Although, I don't really, you know, I don't really.
Yeah. Part of what's weird about this is it feels like I'm doing the Ghost Divers outro, but we barely talked about anything. And that's the part that really feels weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, our opening theme is Ninken Nante by Yoshio Takaro. And then taking us out today is Jungle Boogie by Kuro Nagai. Great song. Get down.